Executive Committee meeting of the Board of Directors, agenda called order. Okay, I've done that. Approval of agenda.
So moved.
Without objection?
Without
objection. Okay. Approval of minutes of April 24th.
Second.
Discussion? None? All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Information item, quarterly meeting with the Writers' Council. Leadership. Here we go. Aurora!
Right.
Huh.
Support for our group. You've probably seen a lot of her and hear a lot about what she's doing. So I'd like to give her credit in absentia. Should I be having this on? Because oh, thank you. I didn't. This is recorded. Okay. Anyway, so we miss her when she's not here, but she felt she.
I see her everywhere.
I know. I do too. So, but she had an out of town conference that she's at. She just left yesterday. So. One thing that she asked me to update you on is just, you know, we do have action plans that you saw at the start of the year, or let's say in April anyway, you saw them, and they're underway. There's not a lot to report other than there's just been a lot of activity gathering information and discussing things. One update I would give is that the customer service committee that I'm a part of, there was something in the work plan that there was something that was not listed in the work plan that we are addressing. And it actually came, it's a product of a lot of different discussions. But we had a meeting, Mary Hines had called a meeting in, whenever we were voting on the fairs, she had called a meeting of all the Virginia delegation back in a few months ago. And after we finished our fair discussion, we started talking about just communication and things in general. And she turned to us and said, you know, I think that's something good for the RAC to take on. And it's just the communication both directions from WMATA to the writers and from writers to WMATA. And the angle that we are looking at is that after sitting through various presentations, a lot of times Lynn Bowersox and others, so we see the incredible investment of effort and time and money in communicating. Just all of the avenues that are selected, the newspaper, the radio, the website, I can't even name them all. It's always astounding to me how much communication there is. And yet whenever we have a meeting with the public, we hear about communication, dissatisfaction. It's like, what's going on here? So our objective is to look at the communication both ways, but when you talk about the direction from WMATA to the writers, to look at what communications is WMATA sending that the people somehow, for whatever reason, aren't hearing. They're not getting them, whether it's the time and place or the vehicle that's used or what, or maybe it's like you just, what is it, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink. You know, okay, maybe they just don't want to read. But and the other thing is, what is it that the writers are looking for that they're feeling like they're not getting? Where are the gaps? Is there any insight we can add to that? We're not trying to recreate the wheel in terms of all the research. We're trying to take advantage of Lynn's work. And she has shared, we asked some questions of her, the committee did, and she gave us some answers on some things. And so we're just trying to figure out where is this niche that we might be able to add some value, because there's already such an investment. And hoping that we could somehow narrow that gap, and or the perceived gap, I would say. And so that's one of the things that the customer service group is taking on that wasn't specifically spelled out. I mean, we had outreach mentioned, but then we discovered there's so much outreach already, so rather than create additional outreach, we want to join in on the outreach that already is planned. And so that's an update of the direction that work plan for the customer service group has taken was kind of a, it was unintentionally left off the list that you got. Something happened and it just didn't get there. It wasn't a new development, and it wasn't a secret. So Lynn has been very helpful in giving us information. Are there any updates you're looking for from us? Anything? you can think of?
I always appreciate where you think the shoe is rubbing, where irritation is, where early warning from customers about issues.
What do you?
I don't know. I guess since I mainly take the bus and the planning committee is constantly talking about, you know, bus service and things like that, there still seems to be some irritation there. And I know that 16th Street, you know, is being worked on. And it seems now that finally we're getting some move ahead with, like, 14th Street and things like that. For example, I saw someone actually on the bus this past Saturday handing out customer surveys. And I think that's important to the people that ride certain bus lines so that they feel like they're actually being heard. So for the first time, I think people, especially on 14th Street, felt, okay, they're actually going to be doing something, making the service better, because for a long time the focus has now been on 16th Street bus. And so a lot of the other riders sort of feel forgotten. And I know it's important, but I think that as we go through all of this sort of bus planning and bus service, we have to remember the other lines. And I was very happy to see this weekend that there was actually someone on the bus handing out surveys, sort of going up to people even after they sat down, and she was like, would you like to do the survey? And you could tell that people were then feeling better about actually being on the bus and being involved, and their opinion cared. It was, you know, someone was actually going to listen to them. So because 14th Street has a lot of the same problems that 16th Street has, and in many ways it's sort of been forgotten, not really forgotten, it's just that there's no money for it right now. And so, I don't know, things like that are really important, I think, as bus ridership grows, is that, you know, other bus lines don't feel forgotten in the entire sort of growth plan.
And I think I would echo that, but on the other side of it is the rail, and there's so much. Even the people that weren't aware of the Silver Line will become aware of the Silver Line very soon. And anything and everything, I'm sure, that they don't like will be blamed on the Silver Line, and it may or may not be even, you know, relevant. But just as you said, people wonder if they've been forgotten. You know, I was overhearing people behind me somewhere walking along talking about, well, I guess they're going to have fewer orange lines, and it's already so crowded. And, and of course, I know from the blue line side about the people that are thinking, oh, yeah, nobody cares about us. They want these new people, but they don't want us. I just think there's a lot of potential. It's going to be painful, I think, as they all discover how they're impacted. And it's just, I don't think it can be avoided. It can only be, you know, issues can be answered and publicized what the answers are. You know, I just can picture people saying, you spent X number of dollars, can't you at least have put in one more escalator on the, you know?
My problem is the neighbors.
Yeah, yeah, it's what's happened lately. Yeah, what's happened lately, you know, and I think that's the pain point that I'm assuming that people handling the Silver Line rollout are, they know this is coming, probably, but I don't know what the plan is. Yeah. It's hard, though, too, because the horizon is so long.
It is very long.
It's very long. People don't usually think more than, you know, a few months out, let alone several years. And so it's going to be a challenge, just, you know, the speed of the response, the nature of the response when things do come up.
One of the things that I would encourage you to do, particularly about the 14th Street corridor issue, Matt Brown is unique in his role in that he has worked at the authority and been part of the planning and budget processes here. And his offer, which I was very pleased with, that says, I want to encourage you to come talk to me.
That hasn't been necessarily on the table in the past about y'all come and sit down and talk to me. I would encourage you to establish a regular working relationship with Matt about at least district bus issues and some of the rail issues in the district. I think there's nothing like having a board member say, I want to talk to you more.
Yeah.
And he means it. So
you
all have to take advantage of it, all of you, not just the district RAC members, but all of you.
No, that's great.
It's an opening that I think he'd appreciate you taking it very seriously and having an agenda and bringing him issues. The other is that I've mentioned this to Rich, and I think it's something that we need to do a better job of on the Silver Line, is all of the focus is on Silver Line and the Virginia stations and the blue, orange, silver stuff. And a little bit of the impact of the Silver Line being a line that runs from Wheatley Avenue to Largo, that this is truly a regional capacity expansion. It's a benefit for the entire region. About one seat rides the continuity that ties the region together. This is something new, not just for the corridor, but it's something new for the region. And the more we can celebrate that, the better off we're going to be about the next round of expansion and the support and understanding of it, because I think jobs, shopping, entertainment, all of that is enhanced for the entire region. So I think we need to do a better job of selling this as a regional opening.
Mm-hmm. I think everybody is.
Can you talk about a bit?
At Largo, for example, the county and the state and the University of Maryland Medical System have selected the Largo Center, the Largo Station, for a regional medical center that will be built there. That's extraordinary in terms of the what it means to the vitality of the healthcare delivery system within the region. Anchored at the transit system, it integrates healthcare, has the capacity to integrate healthcare in ways that we don't find even in urban areas. It ties the Largo straight eventually to Tysons and to the to Dulles. I may even decide to start going in and out of Dulles as opposed to always using BWI. But they're extraordinary changes that this can bring about in enhancing the regionalism. The point that Tom raised, and going back to another one you raised earlier, too, about meeting with the regional transit leadership as well as the accessibility advisory group is doing, for example, right now in Prince George's, it's, you know, we play a regional leadership role in the transit, but so much of it is delivered not by WMATA, but delivered in an integrated fashion by the region, which, of course, you know that already. I'm not telling you anything new, but I think it's their appreciation for, with the direct engagement of advocacy groups like yours, the role you play, I think that can help a lot in terms of how they perceive their roles in responding directly to the community. They're certainly not alien to it, but I think your engagement directly would be important. And I guess the last thing relates to the observation you made about communication. It is hard to figure out not only how to reach people, but what do they really want to know? We have a lot of information, and our team does a tremendous job of trying to get it out, but what is it that people really want to know and need to know? And it's a little bit trite, but it's easy to reach the people that are seeking information, but so many people simply don't have time or the wherewithal, and how do we intercept them in such as the passing out surveys on buses and things like that. That's, and I think it's our obligation to do it. How do we do it in a way that's effective? So I don't think we can ever figure that one out completely. And the more information we get on how to do it, the better. Because it's tough. It's really tough.
We were having a conversation the other night on at our customer service committee about something and about the alerts.
Mm-hmm.
And that maybe a lot of people don't know they exist, although there's mention of that in the stations, for instance, you know. But and even those who know about the alerts maybe may not understand the terms on the alerts, you know, like what does residual delay? Well, I feel like I know what it means, but you know, not everybody may, and that was their point. And so we were starting to talk about, well, what could we do? And I said, well, maybe you could, when people do sign up for the alerts, you kind of just tell them some of the terms they're going to hear. And then somebody came up with this far superior idea that was, how about when they get an alert, you have a way to go find out what those terms mean right then. You know, like, yes. I thought, oh, yeah, that's in the right place. That's in the right place. It's when you see it. And I think there was a real aha that I got and that I heard from staff, you know, a few months ago when they talked about all that they learned from the pop-ups and things that they did with the buses and on that survey. The, what is it, love your bus stop or whatever. Yeah. That they, I mean, I'd heard them say before, people want you to come to them, but I never really, you know, it seems so much clearer now, and I think everybody's embracing that. You don't call something and get them to come to you unless you have a really hot topic, mm-hmm. like the fare changes. Mm-hmm. We did get crowds for that.
Yeah.
But going to where they are helps, and it could be that's the sort of thing that will help inform this communication analysis is, you know, where else could we communicate that mm-hmm. if we're not seeing a response? Or maybe only 20-some% of the people really want alerts.
Well,
I don't know.
One of the things that I think out of the Silver Line communication piece that may be an extension of communication, you know, as we raised the very point we talked about, this is opening up the region. And so you don't need to come out to Vienna, or you can come out to Vienna, but you can go to Largo and you can go all around the region. And the statistic they shared with me is the visibility of this rises because you go to the fairs, things that are, people aren't thinking about Metro when they go that day,
right.
But when there's a Metro table there,
and they're not commuting in a rush.
That's right. They're not in a rush.
Yeah.
And they get more information. And I think that's one of the really good resources because people are coming from all over when they go to some of these events. They were at the Fine Arts Fair. They were at the Vienna this. They were at the Farmers Market in the other part of the region. And all of that is communicating rather than, waiting until you can get a group of folks in the room or... planning a meeting for people.
Yeah, that's something that really, when that first came up, that was really exciting to me, to know that people, that we could join with them. I don't know that we've actually translated that to happening yet. Sometimes we don't know the calendars as far out as we might want, but because it's also a more enjoyable way of doing it.
It is.
You know, we could, you know, read a 100-page PowerPoint, or we could go to a fair. Oh, let me think.
Yeah, that's right.
And, I really want to do more of that.
Do they ask for any feedback on that? Because I think if you could tell them where, and from the folks that you encounter, where should you be next weekend? This is a great place for you to be next weekend, and you can share whatever you have is the most important thing that you think we want to tell customers about. So
yeah.
I think fill their calendars would be a really good thing.
Yeah.
Because they don't need to stop just because we... This was, they started doing more of it because of the mm-hmm. Silver Line piece, but it really is a place that should be all the time.
Yeah,
I go to a festival, I get a plethora of feedback.
Yeah.
So,
I agree.
So you'll get a lot of feedback.
Yeah.
Can I go in a different direction?
Sure.
I don't know if you were at the Safety Committee meeting this morning.
I was not.
Had a long discussion of the camera use policy.
The camera.
Camera use, the station cameras, how that's
shared. The security cameras.
Oh,
and the
security camera. We have an obligation under having received federal money for those to make them more widely available. And a lot of the discussion was on the technical issues, also the legal issues. Yes, it is. It does not violate anyone's constitutional rights to have them on camera in public, but the board, in moving to the next step, which is we're going to do policy statements and the staff is going to turn them into actual procedures, the big message that we put back to them was, first and foremost, you have to think of what the customer feels about this, and that it's not intended to be an invasion of their privacy. It's not intended to be something that's put in a archive for the rest of our natural lives, but that we are respectful of the privacy concerns here, and we, you know, we hope that people would understand that and work with us. I mean, you don't want to have a sign at the station that says, "Beware, you will be on camera." From the minute you come in to the minute you leave. But it's a fact. But the way we're asking them to think about it is a fact, respecting where the customers are. And again, if we how we could help communicate that would be useful.
And hear from the customers.
And hear from the customers about that.
Yeah, because I think one good way to allay some fears is just seeing what I've seen. I've seen alerts come out, several in the last, or a few in the last year, where they're looking for somebody that committed a crime, and I'm
absolutely
thinking, cool.
Right. Yeah, right.
Because otherwise you have this helpless feeling that, no, how could anybody ever find them? And
right.
And I think the public has probably gotten a little more sophisticated in their understanding of it, because if you watch any crime show on TV, they are constantly, on NCIS, I mean, they are always catching people that way. I mean, that one wasn't in the bank's camera, but this was in the street camera.
Yes,
you know, it's like... Yeah. I think there'll always be some people that are worried about the freedom of that, but I think it's got a real payback.
Mm-hmm.
Those cases are important things people care about. They like to think somebody will get caught doing what they shouldn't be doing.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you think?
I think the public understands that it's necessary. I've never really heard anyone that rides the Metro complain about that. It's just a necessary part of having such a large system with so many people going in and out every single day. There's too many people going in and out for you not to have cameras. And I think the majority of the public understands that. So I personally don't think that you'll have a problem in communicating that as like a safety issue to people that, you know, I think people already understand that it's for their safety, because we've had incidents on the train that aren't caught on camera, but then when the people come off of the train, you're able to sort of put the pieces together and, you know, find those people. So I think most of the public understands that it's necessary.
Mm-hmm.
I think one part that we should emphasize in this one is that we are extending this because the policy in that we will be sharing the information with other public safety entities or partners. And so how we do that and how we make sure that it's within, I think, the purpose and importance of our collecting, doing these videos, and that they have the same goals or principles, and they cannot, it does prohibit them from using it. It actually limits their use, because the only thing you do is visualize it. They cannot record it. They should not be exchanging it with anyone else. It's only streamed to them. So those are the boundaries that we were kind of talking about as principles, to kind of make sure it's clear to our customers that Metro is going to protect customers' interests in this effort of safety and security, and we will communicate that to our partners that we share.
So there probably is a sensitivity because of the National Security Agency, now that I think about
it,
where people don't know what is or isn't captured, I think, but some people you're always going to have a very vocal minority that are subject to anything ever being noted about where they've been or who they've been with or whatever. But I think that the payback is.
And I think if you emphasize there's always in WMATA's control, I think that makes a difference. I think that's a huge thing for people, is that to know that it's just one agency and it's not, you know, being spread across, you know, five different agencies or something like that. And then they feel like their entire information is out there, and they, I don't know. I think it's important to emphasize that it's just WMATA.
And that's our reason for saying it must stay within our control, because we're the ones who really care about what our customers think.
But I think people understand it's necessary.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And
you
may hear.
I hope.
What time is your?
We have one. Actually, first
we're supposed to start the one at 1:00. Okay, we need the caucus before. Yeah.
Okay.
We do that.
And we certainly don't mean to be rude or shortchange
the
conversation here. It's vitally important.
We're part of the panel in the that person may have
transportation out. No problem. It's fine. Thank you. It's something that's important to us. Thanks.
One of the things that I'm struck with about when I'm on the system and what I want to know is stuff that impacts me right then and there. When I'm on a bus or I'm waiting at a bus stop and there's no bus. And the same thing with the rail system. And I think there's got to be a better way to communicate with customers who are on the property in one way or another. They're on a bus, they're on a train, they're in a station. And we haven't, I appreciate getting alerts, and I have the Metro Next Bus on my cell phone. And
the Next Bus was just acquired by Cubic.
Oh my gosh.
God. No, say it is. No. No.
A problem?
Cubic is the worst
contractor for.
They're the ones who have messed up all of our fare collection stuff for decades. No, I've said it publicly. I don't mind saying it before. But anyway, station, it's the immediacy thing. It's like how we handle fare increases. People don't pay any attention to it until the day they get on the bus and the fare has changed. And maybe there's a different way of at least thinking about different kinds of communication, about different kinds of issues, about the immediacy of it. People don't want to go to, they don't want to stop and do a lot of stuff. That's why it's so hard to get people to agree to a survey.
We just thought we were done. I thought this was a chat. Okay. But we want to make sure that it's not just a negative evaluation of any kind, that it's like these are the things. And I'll say, when somebody at the table said something about, Next Bus, and the others all chimed in saying, it's good. We rely on it. Don't. Yeah. Yeah, once in a while there's this phantom thing where it says the bus is 30 minutes away, and there it comes, you know, here it comes. But for the most part, it's great because you don't have much to do anyway. You're standing at a bus stop. It's not too much trouble to look it up. everybody pulls them out at the same time. You know, it's a great system because it's exactly where you are and what you want to know.
Some small and medium-sized properties have gone to real-time bus information by bus stop at the bus stop, where if you walk up to the bus stop, it tells you when the next bus is coming at the bus stop itself. You don't need to have your cell phone out and get your bus stop.
I think I saw it in Florence.
Part of that's also on the rail side. That's part of the ability to deal with some of the weekend uncertainties. I never use the rail information system during the regular workday because trains are just one after the other, and it's but on weekends it may be 12, 20, 25 minutes, and it's invaluable about being able to know when the next train at your station is coming so that you can time your arrival better. And we don't push that a lot.
Can I actually say something? So I rarely take the Metro Rail, and this weekend I did take it. And I would say the biggest issue I had was that Yellow Line, everyone knew that it was being serviced, but you wouldn't even know when it would pick up. Nothing ever popped up on any of the screens to say, okay, it's coming in 15 minutes. You knew it was going to be slow, but then there was no indication of when it would actually arrive. And so you just had a large number of people standing on the platform confused. And they're like, well, we hope a Yellow Line train is coming. Eventually it'll come. And it was just confusion at every stop from, like, basically Mount Vernon on, because that's where you had to pick up the Yellow Line. But it would never pop up on the screen.
Yeah, I think I've heard something about it has to do with the turnaround or something, and they're not on.
Well, the DC Metro, the website for rail, operates off of the ATC system. So the feed for the information on the trains on this site, which the authority kind of semi-sponsors by giving them access to all of the train control arrival and departure data, is real-time. So if you... There is a site that will tell you exactly when the next train, by station, by line, by service. Sometimes I've asked Rich about that, and he said sometimes there are communication problems between the PEDS and the train control system. But this is a hardwire. I mean, this is...
Okay, is that the Next Train app, or is that a different one?
Well, it gives you it's not working. There we go. It gives you the next three trains, by direction. 4 minutes, 10 minutes, 16 minutes.
I need to start using that because once the blues are always 12. I want to know which minute it is.
But I find it invaluable on weekends because weekends are simply not that predictable, and we need to push this as a customer information tool that helps them better manage their time and their arrival. There's nothing worse than getting to a station and finding out the next train is 22 minutes.
No, I know. Sunday nights are especially bad. Evening.
It can be 20. Yeah. I hate it when it says 19. Right?
Thank you.
Thank you.
I always...
Catch your mind off now. I always...